Excellency, the most right honorable reverend pastor, executive pastor, person from Bulgaria, Svetlana Papazov!
He's something else. But all of those clapping now, he's going to be counting against my 10 minutes. So I better be rushed. The presence of the Lord is absolutely evident this morning. I'm extremely encouraged because how I understand the presence of the Lord is really as a blessing and anointing on what we are doing. And this morning, the sermon structure is different yet very impactful. And I'd like for you to keep everybody in high attention. And at the end, you will have the time to respond to what you hear. So allow the Holy Spirit to begin to work in your hearts and to condition the response that really would draw the passions in you. If you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 13. See, we have restructured, again, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 through 13. We have restructured the way we do ministry around here because the passion of our heart, the passion of the leadership is to reconnect to the mission of Christ. And I don't know any better explanation of what the mission of Christ is, but to look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, and read about his body and how his body is manifested, walking tangibly alive in 21st century. So this is what we're going to focus on this morning. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 13. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. By the way, that's your Trinity right there. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew or Greek, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Wow. Whew. To me, this is one of the most encouraging texts in the whole Scripture. Because it talks directly to me, and then it tells me that as the Spirit made provision for his relationship with me, also talks to me that I'm not alone. I do not walk this Christian walk by myself, but the Spirit took me out of the kingdom of darkness. As I said, yes, sir, and I'm accepting you as my personal Savior and the Lord of my life. And he took me from the kingdom of darkness, and he placed me in the kingdom of life. Knowing Jesus is to have eternal life. We sang a little bit ago. He gave all of it for us. And when we sing things like that, we think immediately on the cross. He gave his life to us. Yet I want to focus on the fact that he gave all of it to us to represent Him to this world, the Son of God, having tangible feet, tangible hands, to be able to touch this world in 21st century through you and me, as a whole body, as the corporate expression of His body. There are no lonely rangers out there. They're Christian warriors that have any strength in themselves other than through the Spirit who enables us. And it says that the Spirit had given to each of one the manifestation of all of those different gifts we talked about. But it's not for our sake, but it's for the common good. It's for the common good. I would like to really reflect on that just for a second, because our corporate expression of who Christ is depends on your personal devotion and commitment to express the manifestation of the Spirit through you. You cannot attach to the body as a member, as a part of that body. You cannot attach to the body but through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through you. None of us had been left empty. As we had come and committed our lives to Christ, He has committed Himself to us. And in that commitment of Christ to you, He has looked at you. He found the uniqueness of His creation that He breathed in you and coupled it with His supernatural enablement. And He gave you something that is vitally important to this body. This particular local body, the health of this local body depends on your full 100% commitment to this body to be connected in an overt expression so you can allow the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to flow through your individual uniqueness, connecting you to the one body of Christ. There aren't many bodies of Christ. There is one body. Through the local body, you connect to the global body of the church. The bride is one. But we have a local expression of the bride right here. Our Father's house carries a very unique mission. And we call it, let's return to the mission of Christ. The mission of Christ has commissioned us to go as ambassadors in this world to take the message of reconciliation. We have the message. We have the hope that we carry, that we can come and bring others. But as they come and find this reconciler who died for them and for their sins, they are also baptized into one body. And they can connect to this one body, to this local body, by allowing the unique expression that has been given over every one of us. There is no other way we can connect but by allowing the expression of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about supernatural anointing on your life. Supernatural grace. It is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit that works through you to connect you individually to the corporate body. The corporate body is a supernatural expression of the bride of Christ. There is no way we can connect to the supernatural expression with natural connections. It is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit that takes every one of you and brings the unique significance that God has entrusted specifically in you and makes you a vital part for the survival of this local body. We need each other. And at the end of this service, you will be asked to respond in which area you feel that God has graced you with supernatural and natural talents. and how you can, in a very practical manner, connect to this local body. And I want to challenge you that you would stay open through the presentations of the rest of the leaders so you can hear the Holy Spirit nudging your heart. Because the response you're going to give at the end of this service is more than just mere walk to the front. You would be responding to the call of God on your life. He has graced you with spiritual gifts, and it says that He has put in everyone, that manifestation flows through every member, so that member can become truly a vital expression for the health of the organism. It is not conformity in function that brings health to this local body. It is the diversity of function that makes the body alive. That is why Paul takes the metaphor of the human body, because we're very familiar with it. Every part, every member of the body looks so different. Yet at the end, when they come together and they combine in diversity of functions, they have cohesion of mission. They move the body along. So you would have the opportunity to respond. And I want to challenge you to allow the Holy Spirit to stir your heart, to highlight the areas that you could be most meaningful to this body. For we all need each other. I don't care what your grace is or what my grace is. They are not sufficient to survive on our own. But when you combine all the graces, they all of utmost importance. So you're going to see now four key leaders that will come to the platform and will present their passion. As we have restructured the expression of church life ministry that we do at this place, we have entrusted four key leaders to oversee different areas of ministries. They will come and they will present those to you. And at the end, we will ask you to respond to their invitation. So Pete, would you please come?
Well,
you didn't sting?
I know I only have a couple minutes. And I'm just talking to the people who are under 18 years old, so I might repeat myself. So to help keep myself to do that, I'm going to mostly read, but I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank you for slit on a laying that out, Lord, and I ask that you would reveal yourself through me as you choose, just like you do differently through everyone else. I ask that ears would be open, spiritual ears and eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, one of the things we're to do is to talk about our passions. This morning, we sang about them. Mine, and I assume yours. My main passion is my relationship with God. My main passion is with Jesus. Drives me.
Use the mic, Pete.
Use the mic, Pete. I also forgot my glasses. I'll get used to this. Okay, here we go. It's going to be kind of dry, but I took time in writing these down. That people have an ongoing personal relationship with God. That people find healing and wellness through belonging to our local church. That people honor the name of the Lord and His presence. To experience the tangible move of God and His presence. And for me, to play a part in a church that not only meets the needs of its own, but goes beyond these self-centered times that we live in. that I have to break myself out of so we can minister to the community at large. Okay, I don't know if there's anything behind me there. Is there? Is there something up there that says spiritual life? Okay, well, I was thinking there was going to be. So it should say spiritual life, and it should say engaging with God. So I went into the word engage. And, you know, I came to a place with the Lord in thinking about this, that to think of the word engage and to think of engagement is not a bad thing. To think of engaging with the Lord and to think of engagement in terms of being married is not a bad thing. It's also not a bad thing. I'm bending your thoughts here maybe, but it's not a bad thing, one to each other. Okay, this is the opposite of engage. To detach oneself, to be separated or to withdraw, to be unconcerned, to lack interest, and to not care. This is what it is to engage. To occupy the attention of, or the efforts of, to pledge one's own word and to assume an obligation. To be engrossed, to be absorbed, to be immersed, to participate, and to undertake. All of these ministries have a common origin and impetus. They are the result of having a personal, intimate relationship with God. This is the primary purpose and essential ingredient for all Christian ministers and ministries. How do you do anything without it? Why do anything without it? That's a game. By continuing to be engaged in our relationship with the Lord, we can then be rightly engaged with one another. That's what Svetlana just said to me. Participation in ministries of service leads to more personal intimacy with the Lord and with each other. It is a circle. The whole thing's a circle. Guys maybe understand this more. I don't know. I don't know because I'm a guy, so that's why I say I don't know. But I know that if I need to talk about something with another man or a relationship I have with a man or my dad or something like that, when we do something together, eventually the relationship is stronger and things that whatever we've needed to talk out or sort out get sorted out. And I see it the same way with God. We get closer to God by doing things in His house, by doing what He is doing. You want to know what God's like? Do something He's doing and He'll show you. It's really that easy. All right, the spiritual life ministries are an active celebration of what it's like for a person to know God, to hear His voice, be in His family, and to be His hands. Okay, I'm probably getting close to running out of time, so I want to read a scripture. Can we have a scripture up there? Exodus? She's good. Now, again, talking about my passion, my heart. You know, there's a lot of things I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about a lot of things. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of, what is that, Midian? I can barely see the words. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Okay, the next line is the clincher for me. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. Okay, it says when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. When the Lord saw that Moses took the time to step aside and seek out. I mean, I don't know if God would have done nothing if he didn't go over. God's got a plan. Nothing's going to thwart it. But it says here that God was observing what the dude did. And he went over to take a look. My passion for me personally and for everybody is that you step aside and you take a look. Every day. All the time. Do I do it? No. I told you what my passion was, not what I do. I do the best I can. Okay. God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, what did he say? Here I am. When God calls you to do something, what do you do? Here I am. And I was in the restroom, but I think that probably means I'm done. So let me finish with this. Anything I do is because of what God has already done. Period. That's it. Thank you.
Peggy Jarbo.
Well, I represent community life. And our purpose is connecting one with another. And I agree with everything that Pete said. We do this because this is what the Lord calls us to do. To be His hands and His feet. And to carry out His ministry. And I was going to tell you, but it's a secret. So Pete and the other leaders will just have to not listen. The secret is, I think what we do is the most important thing. Okay, so like Avis, I'll just try harder. John Donne, who was a 17th century clergyman, wrote poetry and essays and things. And he wrote, "No man is an island living unto himself." And further on he went, he said, "Ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for you and me." And that great 20th century songwriter, Joan Baez, whom some of you are old enough to remember, borrowed his words and wrote, "No man is an island, no man stands alone. Each man's joy is joy to me, and each man's grief my own." And that's what community life is about. It's about having people here who care about you as individual people and care about one another and care about the ministry of Jesus Christ in this place. That's what it's about. It's this phrase occurred to me some time ago. We were talking and it's just sort of stuck with me that we are with you from the first hello to the last goodbye. The first people you see as you visit our Father's house are members of our red carpet team. They're going to shake your hand. They're going to welcome you. They're going to answer your questions. They're going to help you get to the place where you want to be when you come into this physical building. They're the ushers and the greeters. And they're the face of this house, the first people you see. You know, it's a really a great joy for me to be here in my Father's house. And I'll just read this because I did write it out. "We gather together to learn how each of us can put our Father on display, how we can show His character through each and every one of us." How does this happen? It happens by learning His character and living out what we have learned together. Because it's all about being together as a body. We want to live together in community. We want to touch each other's lives. We want to help you find your gifts and learn what your talents are. Because as Pete said, and as Pastor Svetlana said, that's what makes us one body. We each have a part to play. You cannot, it's very difficult. I have two physical therapists in my family, and they will tell you how difficult it is if someone loses their little toe. Now, how important do you think your little toe is? You don't think about it. But if you should lose it, you have to learn how to walk all over again. So if you think I'm not important, you know, maybe the gifts that God gave me aren't that necessary to the body. Well, let me tell you something, people. Please think again, because that's not true. every gift that you have, every talent that God has given you, is very important to the body of Christ in this house, in the community, and around the world. You are essential. Every one of you is essential. We want to help you find your place in this family, because this is a family. And as the song says, our Father's got a big, big house. And he's got a big table. And there is room for each and every one of you. And there is a place for each and every one of you. And as Pete said, we want to help you find your healing and your wholeness here. Because many of us, as Pastor Lanny said, when we came, we had been pretty well beat up. And we were broken. And we thought, I don't know if I'll ever survive this. And my husband and I were two people like that when we came. And we were here briefly, and then things got worse, and my husband died. And I didn't know if I was going to survive that. But I did, by the grace of God and by the love of others. And here I am, you know, 20 odd years later. And I know the value of each and every one of you. And I know the value of your gifts. And I know that you all have something to offer the body. And we need you. We need one another. So we want to be a family growing together, a family working together, a family playing together, a family supporting one another by prayer and acts of kindness and acts of love. In sickness and in health, kind of sounds like that engagement went on to marriage, right, Pete? In times of sorrow and in times of happiness. We want to be able to celebrate each and every one of you and celebrate community. And, and as you look on your little section of your handout, you can see the areas in which we are trying to be the Lord's hand and feet in community life. And there's room for everyone. So I don't know if I've used up my time or not, but I just want to say how happy I am to be here, how happy I am when I look around, I see faces of people that I have, whose lives have touched mine, and who I have been able to touch in some small manner, and I'm just very appreciative for it. And I just welcome any of you who want to come and walk alongside us.
Brendan Nickish.
Okay, so just so all of you know now, maybe some of you didn't know, I do have a name. I'm no longer Michelle's husband, okay? So you can't get away with calling me that. No more. But I do find it interesting and sometimes funny that God has placed me in a situation where I'm overseeing the process, the discipleship process and the maturing process, and he's charged me or given me a vision for helping each of you grow personally, because as my wife will tell you, one of my mottos is I may have to grow old, but I don't have to grow up. Yes, she's raising not four children, but five. But we often, all of us, joke a lot about our maturity. Oh, I'm mature. I'm more mature than that person. We make these jokes. But as I was listening to Peggy talk and I was listening to Lanny talk, and I was looking at the altar, and we could potentially call this altar Shipwreck Shore if we wanted. Most of us come in here and at one point or another we find ourselves on this altar asking God why, or just crying out to the Lord. And the Lord sets us on a journey towards personal maturity. You know, 5 years ago I came through the door and I was a shipwreck here at this altar and many other places in this building and in people's houses. And He took me on a journey of personal discovery, maturation, and increasing responsibility. And in the intervening years since then, He's given me a passion for His church and a passion for His people. My personal vision is to see the household of God, and in particular, the government of God, restored. Restored to its place, reconciled, if you will, to the Father. I want to see righteous authority restored to the government of God. And so the question then becomes, how does that apply to you? How does it apply to this local body? What does that mean for transformational life, that personal growth process? You know, the answer to the first part of that question, what does it mean for the government of God, is that we have to endure the painful process of personal maturity, growing into personal maturity, and raising righteous rulers, raising our children, raising ourselves, if we're still infants in Christ, raising ourselves to rule on behalf of those over whom we rule, in whatever sphere that you have. It's my passion, it's part of my passion, is seeing people grow. And that's what we want to do in transformational life. We want to see each and every one of you, whether it's the two-year-old or the 70-year-old, there's always room for growing. I heard a story recently about a 113-year-old man who recently passed away. I think he was the oldest man in the world. And one of his secrets to longevity was embrace change. Embrace change. Always embrace change. It's going to hurt sometimes and it's not going to feel good. But in the end of that process, there's growth. And if you're not growing, that means you're dying. So we're alive, exactly. We're alive in Christ. We're alive in Christ. So, but we're faced with a church and a culture that has used the ministry and the discipleship process to gain favor for themselves. Maybe gain favor for the individual minister to advance their own personal causes, their own agendas so often. Which, as we know, it's not ruling righteously. It's ruling for themselves. So, the good news, of course, is that God's granted us the ministry of reconciliation. And I'm going to wrap this up because Lanny's sitting here looking pretty. So let me close by just saying I really believe that God is releasing a fresh energy and a grace in this season for new things, for new ways of doing ministry, for new ways to help us to grow, come into personal maturity and growth. And I believe there's those of you here who believe that He's called you, that He's planted something inside of you, and you know, this is the way we used to do things, but I don't think that's not what God's showing me. He's saying we can move this way, we can grow this way or this way. So I would encourage you, step out, embrace change, and grow personally.
Alexei Hernandez.
Hey. My name is Alexia, and I oversee the real life area of our church. You might wonder what real life is. What this is really about is reaching outward. And I'm sorry, Pete, you may be first, but really, we're first. We really have the opportunity to be the section that goes out there and reaches to those that are unchurched or pre-churched or been churched before and left church. But, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. I wrote all this stuff down to try to be, I'm going to lose it. But I wanted to just try to be eloquent and let you know what my passions were, but I'm just going to be real because this is real life. We were asked to share our passions. And I love you guys, I really do. And when I serve you, I try to serve you in love and excellence. But there's a world out there that doesn't have the hope that we have, doesn't have the family that we have. And we all know we're all regular people. We've been there. And the Lord showed us love. So if you ask me what my passion is to see people healed, connected, grow. But that all has to start somewhere. And it's our passion, it's our job, it's our task to go out there and fish them, reel them in. Once they're in here, then they can enjoy the worship and the engagement with the Lord. Then they can enjoy connecting with other people. And they can grow, but they have to get here. So our responsibilities are evangelism and missions and public relations. This is the newest section of this life, church life process, because we have not really been active or organized in that area before. So with public relations, we have to be able to, for the lack of better words, market ourselves, what the Lord has to offer in this house to the community. And that has to happen from the beginning to the end, from the road on into how things are, what they look like, a result of what we've seen in the lobby, and some of the changes have been a result of public relations, because we want to be able to attract more people that don't even realize how desperate they are. What breaks my heart is others. There are people that are lost, that wake up every day and don't realize that they have hope. They don't even realize the condition that they're in. And some do, and try to put on a smile and live their day out. But these hurting people need the Lord. And the Lord asked of us something very simple. It's very simple. It is to go and tell others. It is His mission. And if we are not doing that very simple thing of sharing His love with others, we're failing. And personally, I cannot continue to sit here. I've been in this church for 10 years, and everyone is wonderful, but I've been sitting here saying, there's got to be more. I've been a Christian for 20 years, but there's got to be more. So when this section came up and Lanny approached me about it, I knew it because it burned in my heart. This is the more. There has to be more to walking this Christian life than to just sitting here Sunday after Sunday, hearing sermon after sermon, growing spiritually, and for lack of better words, getting fat spiritually, and not doing anything about it. I can't do that anymore. I won't do that anymore. And if I'm required to sit here and do nothing else, I would rather not be here. So everyone can evangelize, and that's a very churchy word. I, you know, personally don't care for the word in that sense because it always scared me. But everyone can share the love of God with somebody in the cubicle next to you, with the person at the grocery store. Pain is everywhere. Just look at their eyes. And we have the answer. How dare we? How dare we have the answer and not share that? So, it's a different generation out there, and I think we've heard it for months now from Lanny and from Svetlana, how we need to change, how we need to open up, how we need to be unchurchy and get to the real world and be Jesus' hands, feet, heart in the real world. This requires a lot of back work. It requires a lot of just a lot of stuff that normally you don't think is happening. It's very short. Three little things that we do, right? Evangelism, missions, and public relations. But we really do need the help to be able to produce the products in public relations that will attract the people to what we have to serve. The greatest part of this particular portion of the ministry is the support that we are to our ministries, because it's not a team of evangelism out there or evangelists. It is the women's ministry that wants to do something evangelistic. It's the children's ministry that wants to do something evangelistic. So what we are here to do is to support all the ministries to be able to creatively market the events and the ministries of what they are doing, not only for here in the church, but for those that are out there. And it's our desire to produce a quality product that would be fresh and appealing so that people would be able to come and enjoy and get to know the Lord. So thank you for putting up with this, but I love the Lord, and He loves you.
Why don't each of you tell us how you really feel? These folks have agreed to represent the Lord's grace and interest on our behalf by stimulating all those areas in us so that we can grow up into Him. And I appreciate their commitment to that process. When I grew up, we had a gas stove in the kitchen. Kitchen, misnomer. The little lean-to where Mama cooked next to the one room we lived in. But it had something called a pilot light. And Daddy figured out that if you would blow the pilot light out and turn the valve off, you could save gas. Otherwise, the pilot light just sat there all the time, so when you turn it, hey, let's make some coffee. Now, when we don't know Christ, the valve is turned off. When we come to know Christ, the pilot light can be lit. But we don't actually create anything until we turn the dial and watch the flame come up. Watching the flame come up is often the, I don't know what God you question. But if you intentionally turn the valve off, then there's no real gain in your life, because that flame can never come up. Today we're asking you to take a peek. What exactly does my pilot light indicate? What is the flame of God at working in me that I would like to see really burst forth? I don't want you to be 65 years old saying, well, I haven't figured out what God wants me to do yet. Come on, game's almost over. Get your hands dirty with something and find out. I'm surprised at the things I'm graced to do. I really am. I'm just surprised at them because I never saw my life going in that direction. And I'm amazed at the things that I just simply don't do anymore because they dried up in my hand and ceased to be, because things change. This is a season of change. There is an opportunity for you to say, Lord, I think this might be it. So my invitation to you today is simply this. Ask God to add His super to your natural. Okay? There is something there. Each of you has got something. Give God opportunity to add His super to your natural. So take a look at that form that these guys gave you, because these are the areas they represent. And if you see something there that looks like it might be your pilot light, give yourself an opportunity to see if that thing will burst into flame. Put your name and your contact number there, or your email address, whatever, and present it to the one you resonated with. If you heard Alexia's spirit and yours leapt in the womb of your spirit, then put your name down, hand it to her and say, I don't know, but I think it might be God. Talk to me about this. And then we're going to break for lunch. Hallelujah to God forevermore. And you can sit with these guys, these four, and say, tell me more. Okay? Just tell me more. If you have a hint, well, I think I might be interested. I did that once in my life. I don't know. Well, just try. You know, it's a different season. The atmosphere has changed in the spirit. So let's give God an opportunity to see. So take a moment, fill that out. Then I'm going to have these guys come up here, and we're going to share communion together. And as you come, bring your card with you. And take communion whether you bring a card or not. Well, I ain't committing to this, or I don't know what to do. I'm not sure this is the timing. Okay, all right. But some of you heard the Holy Spirit today. And so I'm asking you to allow Him to speak to you. That's right, Pete. Come on up here, Alexia. Come on up here, Brandon. Come on up here, Peggy. That's right. Lead the way, Peter. Be first. You said you were first. Come on. Quick, Alexia. Beat him up here. You said you were first. Now let's consider for a moment. Father, we hear the word change. We see it happening everywhere around us. Does it really have to happen in me? Can't I just be who I am right now until I die? Can I just continue to sit and watch others do it? Can I, me? Lord, help us to become you. Give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation that allows us to see who you desire to be through me. And give me the courage and the perseverance to continue in the transformation. Don't let me die like I am today. Put your mark upon me. Make it visible. I don't know what it's going to mean, Lord. I don't know where all I'm going to go, but I'm asking you, Lord, to keep the fire burning. Don't let me settle. Don't let me rest. I want to press on. It's almost over. Day after tomorrow, we'll be in your presence. Let these next few days count. Show us, Lord. I present myself to you simply to show me, Lord, how to move forward. I'm willing. Show me in Jesus' name. All righty. Gentlemen, if you'll show us to the altar row by row, we'll receive a communion, go back to our seat, take our elements, and we'll be dismissed downstairs for you to pay exorbitant amounts of money for food that you cook to send our teams away. Isn't that exciting? And if you're bringing an offering, I notice it's for the needs of the saints. I'm sorry, for the needy. If I didn't make it clear, hand your card to the one who you have resonated with. I don't actually know what the... Y'all keep playing. I really like that sound. I don't really know what the instructions are. I assume we go down the steps. Is that right? Does anybody know? We'll go downstairs and find out. Oh, it's in the pavilion. Oh, goody. We're going to be outside in the 40% chance. Now, for those of you that don't know, it's morning. Is this thing cutting out? Now? When you drove in this the morning off of Route 4, if you just continue straight, there's a little driveway down there, and there's a pavilion back there. Yes, hidden in the woods right next to the basketball court before you get to the place for the kids camp out. Oh, yeah, don't drive down there. Walk, for God's sake. Gee whiz. Look, gang, I started following the Lord 40-something years ago. I had no idea where I was going to end up, but I didn't really care. He gave me life. I didn't have one, and He gave it to me. So I'm going to keep following the voice of the Lord as clearly as I know how. I kind of suspect I'll end up in Sheltenham Military Cemetery, but not today. So between now and then, I want to just follow Him wherever He leads me. So, Lord, as we consider the testimony of Your body and You placing us in it, I pray You grant to each one of us a yes, Lord, response all the days of our life. That whatever gets in the way, we can trust You to deal with. Even if it's me getting in the way of me. Because our heart is yes, Lord. As we take these elements today, revisit us with the memories of how true it is. You gave us a life. Now allow us, Lord, to give the remainder of that life to You for Your glory. Take and eat in your commitment to Christ. These brothers will collect... Was that a saltine? Woo! I wasn't ready for that. But I guess we're supposed to be salt and light. Pass those cups to the aisles, and these brothers will collect them. And I remember once I was fixing to lead us in communion, and I was talking about the blood, and I lifted the cup, and it was white grape juice. It just spoiled the whole thing. I'd never seen that before. Are we good? We're done? Oh, okay. Alexia wants to continue to hear the music for a little bit, so the rest of us will just sneak out quietly and leave her alone. But if today you feel like you need to do business with the Lord, we can linger here for a little bit. Others are going to wander out and start eating. There'll still be food when you get there. Okay? So, I dismiss you in the name of the Lord. Go eat or come fellowship in His presence. Please take your noise with you out into the lobby.